We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This message will self-destruct.
What time is the game?
It's time to begin the football weekend.
Let's go, man. Come on. Let's have some fun, man.
This is Dusty and Cam on Football Friday.
You gotta see it. You gotta see it.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
Good morning. It is Friday, January 12th. It is a sad day. It is Crawford's final day on our show.
Good morning. Sad.
Are we sad? Are we celebratory?
A little bit of both. No, I'm sad. I'm sad.
It's celebration of life.
Oh,
you know what I'm going with?
Are you going to give a eulogy?
Yeah. No, I think it's just. I think it's a PC that's what way I to say want. Funeral. You know what? That's what I'm saying. I think you should celebrate the opportunity. Celebrate the life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not sad. It's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on up.
Crawford was a good man.
Yes.
He was a producer.
Should be able to write our eulogies right now.
Not a good one, but a producer.
Hey. Hey.
Hey. How do you feel?
It feels like the last day of class in high school, kind of. Not so much college, but more high school, where it's like you really gotten to know the same core people for X number of years, and you've shared memories, and you're super excited for the next step, but you're like, oh, damn.
Yeah. I mean, along those same lines, you've been here for 5 years. You were in college for 5 years?
I was in college for four.
4 years.
And high school for four.
For five.
I wish.
Freshman year was tough. But now you're moving on.
Yeah.
You're going
back to high school undercover, 23 Jump Street. Production begins this summer.
That would not be surprising to anybody.
No, not at all.
If I was going down to be an undercover cop for high school.
I think you could probably pull it off. You're like that mid-age actor that could pull off
the younger
high school.
I think I could go. I think I could infiltrate the high school.
Totally get into the Mean Girls setup for you. Mean Boys back at Newport High, part of the Sailors.
Dude,
mm-hmm.
There might be something there.
Mean Boys in your
mean
in your
boys.
Van.
That does not sound
bad boys.
No,
Mean Boys.
Right. Mean Boys doesn't sound.
Crawford and his Mean Boys. That doesn't. That sounds like you should trade in your station wagon for a van, my friend.
And I'll be
without
moving to
windows.
The San Fernando Valley.
That's true. I do have to, we have to get our predictions out. Why don't we just do it right now? You're going down to produce a feature film.
Yeah, wait, what are the predictions?
How long until he's directing adult films?
Oh, in the Valley?
Yeah. How long until he goes from I can't afford living
we gotta get
in
camera.
Newport. He already has the camera.
No, camera, and then, camera time.
And then he's sitting there going, wow, this is really hard to make money.
Now
he starts waiting some tables. All of a sudden, he meets some unsavory characters, and he ends up in the Valley.
Isn't this the plot to Boogie Nights?
Yep.
Yeah, it does.
Which is a great film.
Actually, no. He went to star in them. You're going to direct them.
Is it still called film? It's still called film.
The adult industry, I guess. Uh-huh. I don't know. And just to specify, Dusty, there's a difference between directing an adult film and just doing kind of, you know, cam work, they call it.
Okay.
No pun intended.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds fun.
Oh, hey.
That is.
That's when you just film your, self.
Anyways.
Okay.
So how long until you're directing? How long? I'm saying 2 years.
Hmm.
2 years.
2 months.
Because I think 2 months, huh?
2 months.
See,
I think it's already built in because you need side gigs. It's called the side hustle to make your extra money.
Ooh, that is a good point.
He's already got all the lighting. He's got the cameras. He's got the car.
Mm-hmm.
He can make his own series.
Car.
Yeah. That's a thing now.
Throw a mattress in the back of the station wagon.
It's big enough. Whatever you need to do.
You can't fit a mattress back there.
You could fit a lot of things back there.
That station wagon is long and wide.
Mm-hmm. The show's going to be full of a lot of innuendos today.
Well, my
might get a little strange.
I had a couple of drinks at dinner the other night, so I asked my buddy who doesn't drink to drive home. Safety first.
Yeah. Safety.
And he goes, this car's pretty long. And then my other buddy goes, dude, don't knock the girth either.
Yeah, that's right. And, it is wide.
Like, it is, like, yeah, it's a big car.
It is a big car.
Not compensating.
Was he able to parallel park in your neighborhood, which is in the city?
I don't think he tried to parallel.
I think all your neighbors are going to be really happy that you're leaving because your two vehicles take up 10 spaces of smart cars in the city.
And remember when my old roommate lived there, he had a passenger van for his band.
Yeah, you guys are obnoxious.
So that's like two cities.
Completely
obnoxious.
That's
like an entire city block one side of the street.
Completely.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So.
All right. Well, without further ado, we have some things to talk about on this show. We will get the show on the road.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
All right. Well, today in sports history will be known for 2018 when Crawford left the show moving forward. But in 1969, the Jets fulfilled Joe Namath's guarantee in Super Bowl III. He was next to a pool in Miami. He said, we're going to win. Beat the Colts 16-7. It was the first time ever the AFL beat the NFL in the Super Bowl. And it was the first time it was even called the Super Bowl. Now we have a lot of Super Bowls.
Broadway Joe, one of the greatest nicknames ever in the history of sports.
Yeah.
If I could pull that off with furs, man. Wasn't a Cadillac was part of his first deal?
Yeah. I think that it's amazing that people will go with, oh, athletes have changed. No, they were Joe Namath was there, man. He was like the trendsetter for it all.
Didn't Wilt Chamberlain have a plethora of ladies?
About mink coats.
10,000.
Yes, he did. 10,000 is the rumor.
Allegedly.
And you know who his drinking buddy was? Wilt Chamberlain's? Andre the Giant.
Good luck keeping up with that.
Goodness.
That guy made a beer look like a thimble.
Mm-hmm. Well, so did Will.
Today.
Pretty big dudes. Okay, on today's program, Crawford's last ever as our producer, we gave the reins over to him.
So if you want sports today, we might have a little bit of dabble.
I got some sports, actually. It's
a sportsy. We'll be a little sportsy today.
I tried to keep it.
A lot of opinions.
Yeah.
Things that might get you triggered.
The athlete.
Trying to trigger people.
The athlete, yes. Well, there is a whole segment on things that trigger Cam.
Is there? Why? That shouldn't be fun.
Crawford set this whole thing up. So we have our textual relations today is what is Portland from an outsider's perspective? Why don't you tell us, since we all live here, what we think Portland is, and then Crawford will give us his outsider's perspective. And Cam, you have an outsider's perspective, too.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just like things we love, things we hate.
The Woolly.
Yeah. Outsider. Crawford, you and I are outsiders.
We're both from small towns.
The inner circle.
Mm-hmm. And then also we have a lot of listener recommendations for topics today that Crawford took into consideration on Twitter yesterday. And a lot of them made the show.
A lot of good stuff coming in on the...
Except all Beavers. All show.
I decided to use my discretion not to do a three-hour Beaver segment.
All right. Our Weekend Would You Rather will be at 8 with a special guest, Sierra, as well. Not Russ Wilson's wife, but Sierra from Sales. Sales BZ, Sierra. Just,
you're going to want to be a part of this,
She's
folks.
A whole thing, man.
You're going to want
to. She's a whole deal.
What does
Time
that
to wake
mean?
Up.
Well, the whole deal.
You know Sierra. She's a deal.
She's a like, whole
it's
deal.
It's a deal. Like, when she comes in, it's a whole
if
thing.
If we were describing Sierra's interactions with this company, or how do we do it in a complimentary way? I love Sierra. She's fantastic.
She's one of my favorites in this building.
She brings energy and joy to my day.
She is a walking, talking
HR violation.
That's better. Okay,
from the
that's
male
fair.
Perspective.
That's fair.
All right. College hoops. The Oregon Ducks picked up their best win of the season last night, 76-72, with a win at number 11, Arizona State. 18.6 assists, 4 boards from Westland's Peyton Pritchard. The Beavs gave number 17, Arizona, everything they could handle, but fell short 62-53 thanks to a 14-3 run by the Wildcats over just a 3-minute span. Your Beavs lost, but Trace Tinkle had a good game. And then number 15, Gonzaga, stomped a hole in UP over on sister station ESPN Portland 910. 103-57.
Uh-oh.
And Portland State handed Montana State their first Big Sky loss of the season. Impressive fashion, 93-47, the Vikes win.
Portland State's good.
Yeah. Well,
wait, ever since this PK-80, I mean, they were in games, but they're not bad.
They weren't.
Some good talent.
They actually started Big Sky play with two losses to Sac State and Eastern Washington, but they won two in a row and looking really good. Maybe. Obviously got to win the Big Sky. NBA was in London yesterday. You see that? They played at noon in London. Celtics won their seventh in a row.
What is our obsession with jolly old England?
Money.
And sports. Money. And our American sports. Money. Are we that pompous to think that we're just going to just put it all over there?
No.
I saw Musburger specifically said on his Twitter feed yesterday, you snobby Americans, they will never love our sport over there.
Well, they do love basketball, not football, though.
Do the English love basketball?
Oh, yeah.
Do they? Come on.
Yeah, love basketball. Yeah. International game.
When was the last time we had a great English basketball?
Joel Freeland. Alex English.
British ball. That's just his name.
When's the last time we've had a very good or a good international player from England?
Ben Gordon was British.
Didn't the Ducks have
I'm going to say Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, wasn't that Cavell Bigby Williams boxing guy? Isn't he
I thought
British?
He was Canadian.
No, he was British. Then everybody else was Canadian.
I saw an interesting thing. We sent the 76ers, Revolutionary War, and the Celtics, Irish.
Take that.
And someone said, what a middle finger to the Brits. I was like, I didn't even think of that.
Well, who are we going to send to appease the Brits?
I don't know.
The Kings?
Yeah, the Kings. There
Kings,
you go.
And the Kings.
The Kings and the... That's about it. We're not sending the Heat.
No.
That'd be offensive to them.
It's cold.
We can't send the Rockets. I don't think they even have a space program. I don't know who we would send.
Yeah.
Anyways, basketball.
Good.
That's basically
two
what
and
this
two
show.
Together doesn't.
This
equal,
show's gonna go that way.
Doesn't equal English basketball.
Rock and roll. Hey.
Oh, Knickerbockers.
Yeah,
the Kings and the Knickerbockers.
Or we send our own King James.
Yes. No. Send him over.
God, it's early.
Wait. Royalty. Get knighted.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, I'm looking here. There's not a lot of teams we should send over there. Okay. Hey, divisional round of the NFL playoffs. They get underway tomorrow morning. Patriots, full participation for the first time since week one in their practice yesterday. They are healthy for the first time.
No,
all season long. Chris Hogan will play.
You said tomorrow morning. That's Sunday. Sunday's the morning. Saturday's the afternoon.
Oh.
Saturday's 1:35. I got confused. I got frightened for a second when you said that.
Crawford's not going to wake up. It'll be Crawford's morning. This is Crawford's show, so it's Crawford's morning.
Okay.
Yeah, it starts at 1:30, and I believe that game's on NBC. I brought up the NFL scoreboard on ESPN, and it is just blank.
Yeah, that game is on NBC at 1:35, and then CBS, you got the Titans-Pats.
Perfect, at 5?
5:15.
Falcons-Eagles, where you have two birds playing against each other. 10-6 versus 13-3. Yeah, the 13-3 team is underdog. Mm-hmm. And do you see the rousing vote of confidence that Doug Peterson gave his quarterback?
Yeah.
Nick Foles.
What was it?
Be yourself. Let Nick be Nick.
Be all you can be.
And then Steeler fans, not great news for you guys, as Le'Veon Bell was talking about his contract yesterday, not the Jacksonville Jaguars. He says he'll sit out if he gets franchised again.
Nothing like taking that into the playoffs. It's all about me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it's all quiet on the Saints-Vikings front. Saints-Vikings front is all, which means the game that we think is going to be the good game in this round, I think it's going to be awesome. And I think that's good news for everybody. No bulletin board material coming out of that one. Both teams healthy. Both teams looking like it's going to be a fun one.
Two smart franchises not giving each other, you said, fuel to the fire.
Fuel. All right. 55305. That is the fan text line. Crawford wants this show to be all about fan interaction today.
I would love that.
Do you want to do the teases?
Sure, I'll do the teases. Okay. We love 30 for 30s. We love peeking behind the curtain here on the show and seeing how the sausage is made. So I want to know if you could read any athlete's tell-all book, No Holds Barred, or watch any 30 for 30, as niche as it might be, what would yours be? Text us 55305. We want to know. Tell-all book, 30 for 30. You are the director.
Boom.
You're listening to Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
Crawford Show today. The tell-all book that you want to read from an athlete. Whose is it? 55305, that is the fan text line. It's an interesting question. Like, in sports, we have so many different personalities. Like, and there's a lot of different guys that it seems like everybody we know so much about right now. And it's all kind of out there and in front of you. And I think we know almost like too much about our athletes these days. And so, like, when you think of these tell-all books, I want to hear about from somebody that I don't really know anything about. That's why when I read this, you know, the first guy that popped into my mind was Derek Jeter. I want to hear about Derek. How did Derek Jeter navigate 20 years in the biggest media market in the world where everybody's under the microscope and nobody knew anything about his personal life? Like, nothing. Like, all we knew is that he may or may not have given out gift baskets to women that he hooked up with and that he dated a lot of beautiful women.
That's confirmed, right? The gift basket thing?
I have no idea.
He has never confirmed it, nor have any of his, like, hookups. It's only girls that...
It's like friends of hookups?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't get the gift basket thing. Like, is it kind of a leave behind?
It's like
like a signed baseball and...
If a girl stays the night at Jeet's house and hooks up with them, in the morning they get to take home like a signed baseball.
Like a to-go gift.
Yeah, and like a little... It had like a little toothbrush in it.
Yeah,
and
like a little, maybe like some face wash.
Yeah, so you're never doing the walk of shame. You're leaving...
I'll be honest with you, I have no idea, and I think that's fine. It's great. Little to-go gift. Yeah. Hall of Famer. Baseball's, I mean, he's going to be Hall of Famer.
Well,
of
course yeah.
He is. And you could have a little
first ballot.
Yeah, of course. And you're going to have the ball and the signature. You take a picture. I guess they didn't have it. Look, he didn't grow up in the social media era. Well, he didn't go through that era. All those guys that were able to stave off I guess we call it now the tarnishing of pro athletes.
But how did everybody know everything about any other person that played in New York except for Derek Jeter? Yeah. Like, nothing ever got out about the guy.
That kind of, like, for
he's
me,
smart.
This isn't my Very. First answer, but LeBron James has been a guy. It's been impressive that he's avoided.
Well, he does everything the right way.
Well, it's, yeah, exactly. So I guess I'd be curious to read, like, when I say tell all, it's kind of a figurative thing because, you know, there's always going to be things that aren't told.
You want to know, like, the dirty secrets?
But yeah, just LeBron and. I give him huge kudos for doing everything the right way and staying out of trouble and just being, he seems like a really, really good dude. So I'd be curious to read a non-sterile version of the LeBron James story.
And it's not all roses and everything.
No one is perfect.
If you were able to shadow a professional athlete all time, going back in history, an athlete and be with him, not just in the posse or hang out, or get a chance to be maybe that beat writer that gets to follow that athlete or learns about him or in their, I don't know what you call the entourage. I know who mine is. And that's kind of like, would you think that there'd be somebody would say, oh, I'd want to be with Michael Jordan. I'd want to be with Magic. I want to be with whoever it is, Wilt Chamberlain. And mine is the Bambino. I know my infatuation with the 20s is there, but kind of like that 30 for 30, I'd want to know. And we've seen movies about the Yankees in that time, in that era of great baseball. That, to me, is the most interesting time in baseball and when the sports really took over our country.
There are stories that came out like long after. It was like deathbed tales from writers that covered that team because the team used to take a train, and then in like – the front of the train would be all of like the media that would travel with them.
Yeah.
And there was like tales of Babe Ruth, like being chased naked through the train with a woman with like fireplace poker trying to kill him. I mean, there's legendary stories of Babe Ruth, like passed out drunk and them having to like shake him awake and he'd go out and hit two home runs.
Yeah. Eating hot dogs, just sitting there, where are all my hot dogs and everything that about that is. I love every second of
it. But they never reported any of it.
No.
Because that was just the way it was. So Babe Ruth is your guy.
Oh, huh? Absolutely. And that 27, and any time you talk about the Yankees of the 20s.
Row.
Oh, my goodness. If you could just be in the clubhouse with those guys. Mm-hmm. Holy smokes.
See, mine are more like AI or Dennis Rodman or kind of those late 90s, 90s to late 90s NBA guys right before we got social media, right before ever. Well, the NBA had to change. I mean, the NBA changed their dress code. David Stern said it was too hip-hop. It was scaring, you know, suburban white folks who didn't want to go to the games anymore. So does, you know, Malice at the Palace. I would love to have shadowed or just read a tell-all book of Allen Iverson. Because we've heard rumors about Allen Iverson. What was it? They said he used to spend 40 to 50 grand at TGI Fridays
what?
In downtown Philly weekly.
Well, and they would go on road trips and he wouldn't pack a bag.
He would just buy new clothes.
How do you spend 50 grand at TGI Fridays?
He said.
Weekly?
Mm-hmm. He said, I believe it was a little lower, but it was upward. It was upwards of 10 grand. And he said, no, man, I never did that unless it was, what did he say? Unless I took the strippers there with me and it was back before they had half price apps. So then, yeah, I suppose we'd spend over 10 or something like that. Then someone later said that wasn't a real quote, blah, blah, blah. But other people said, oh, yeah, he'd be there with the whole strip club. So I want to know if that stuff's true, you know?
Yeah, it says right here.
Or at least be there.
He did that documentary. Have you watched his documentary?
Not watched his doc.
It addresses those sorts of things. And no, it would be, he would drop like 30 or 40 grand like at a at a strip club, but then
he would take him to TGA Fridays.
All right, let's narrow it down here real quick, though.
Okay.
Of a Portland athlete of all time.
It's the Jailblazers.
Just a single. I know the whole team, but just one. If you could be in their group.
Sheed. I would want to know about Sheed. Rasheed Wallace, to me, is one of the most interesting Trailblazers to ever play here.
Mm.
He hated it here. He was really good when he played. Didn't like it at all. Mm. I think Rasheed Wallace.
Was he out and about guy during season?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was the Jailblazers era. I mean, it was like they were getting in trouble, finding trouble anywhere they could here in Portland.
Is that the most famous group of athletes that's ever been in Portland? I mean, more than the 77 Blazers, you talk about the Jailblazer era more, at least in my opinion, I hear more from someone that's came here about that era than I do about the championship team.
I knew about them growing up in SoCal. They were on my radar as a young sports fan. The bad guys in Portland.
Late 80s, early 90s Blazers, the 77 team and 70s Blazers, those are teams that everybody loved and adored.
Sure.
And they were really good. The Jailblazers were the team that everybody loved to hate.
Yeah.
And everybody it was a love-hate relationship with that team because everybody in Portland was like, these guys are the worst group of people to represent our city, but oh my gosh, they could bring us a title. And they were really close to bringing Portland a title. Really close.
What were their eras again? What were the years?
I would say probably 99 through 2004.
Okay.
Yeah. Where they were playing Western Conference Finals and, you know... Think of that trade-off, and would Portland want that back again?
I think that makes this city unique. I think nobody would say don't give it to
them. Yeah, I think they would.
Is there anybody out there that hates that era?
There's a lot of people they hated what was happening with the team, but they loved the winning. It was a weird time to be a Blazer fan.
Yeah, it is.
It was a weird time.
And we'll talk about this later in the show because I have a topic about, you know, why do we love certain athletes, hate others, kind of the hero versus anti-hero. I, for one, don't. I want the win. I want the championship.
No matter what. Holds barred. Don't care.
I wouldn't
sell your soul to the devil.
I'm not going
to
meet the devil at the crossroads and sell my soul for a Clippers title.
That's how you become the you, though.
That's how you become you.
Part of your identity becomes like the University of Miami.
Exactly.
You know?
And I'm fine with
what you'd sell it. Well, Destiny doesn't believe. So you're fine. You'd sell that up, right?
What?
You wouldn't care for the win. For the win, for the championship?
You're agnostic, you don't care.
Wait, what?
I'm selling your soul.
You don't care. You don't have anything there, so you don't care, right?
Nothing.
There's no worries.
That's a tough one, though, because it's the representation of your hometown, too, you know?
But that's a championship.
Yeah, I'd go championship. With it.
If Oregon State became the U, I would have no problem.
If you win the championship and then you sell it off, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
Dude, Florida Marlins it. Win the championship and then just sell it off and
But start do over. Anything it takes to get to that level. We're talking anything.
Yeah.
Any players, any way it takes.
Yeah. That's a good Zach Randolph is coming in here too. Or Bonzi. Yeah, that'd be good. Tiger Woods tell all book.
Like tell actual tell all.
You wouldn't if that was like you gave him truth serum. And then another one is Pete Rose. If you gave him Pete Rose truth serum and they sat down and just told you everything. Oh,
Pete Rose might be a really good one. Lenny Dykstra, too, as he gets it. I mean, these oh my gosh. Yeah. These are all coming out. Well, I think
Lenny already is telling everything. It's like
he is.
He says stuff, you're like, that's not real. And then it's like, oh my God, it is.
I think if you're going to go with any group, you have to go with, and you know why I'm biased to baseball players? Because you're in towns for series of 4 days. In NBA, you're in and out.
A lot of time to get in trouble.
It's,
you're there, no you're posted up. No pun intended
with Sean Kemp there. You're in and out.
Whoa, wait, okay,
it's not a lot of time there. a lot of traveling. But baseball, you're 162 games. You're in cities for 4 and 5 days. You have a lot, and we're talking a lot of time on your hands. Yeah. That's why I think baseball stories are the greatest.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time. You got to kill it somehow.
Whoa. Hulk Hogan coming in.
One more Portland guy. I would be curious, just Bill Walton in the 70s. Kind of, I would like to shadow him maybe for a day, ride bikes around Portland and
how much peyote smoke some weed. Smoked.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a decent one.
I don't want to smoke peyote. Let's get that on the record. I don't want to.
Well, that leads us to our next topic, our textual relations. What do we have for textuals, Croft?
Oh, I want to know what everyone thinks of Portland. What do we love? What do we hate? I know as I prepare to leave this city after being here for almost 5 years, 4.5 years, there's a lot that I love. There's a lot that attracted me to it. But there's also some other things where I'm like, I'm not going to miss that. So I want to know. I know a lot of our listeners are probably transplants like myself. Or Cam, you grew up in Washington. Dusty, you're the, you know, favorite son, the local boy. Done good on his own radio show. So let's hear on the Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. What do you love? What do you hate about Portland? What is Portland? It's a changing city. It's in a transition period. I want to know what y'all think about it.
Here's Crawford with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Fan text line. What is Portland? The outsider's perspective. I know we're all here. We're all from here. Some of you maybe moved here. Now consider yourself Oregonians or Portlanders. But what is Portland? As Crawford is leaving after coming here from Southern California, beautiful Newport Beach, and he's returning back to his roots. What is the outsider's perspective of this city? What do you think Portland is? You're from Sidro Woolley. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how long have you been here in Portland?
2014.
Oh, so 4 years?
Is it 4 years?
Yeah.
That's three, isn't it?
It's 2018, bro.
Yeah, but we have officially got, yeah, it's a rough 3.5 years, somewhere around in that area.
4 years.
Yeah.
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 What is your perception of Portland, the city?
Truthfully?
Yeah. No, I want you to lie to me.
I've lived in a couple small cities before. I mean, because it reminds me of, it does in some strange way, you may not believe this, but it does remind me of New Orleans. New Orleans is a really small, big city. It's quaint. I mean, it was roughly 800,000 people, but it got even smaller after the hurricanes. Portland owns its identity. That's really what I love is the commitment of the city and the people that are from here is that they're not, there's not a lot of fakeness. You know, you are who you are here. You're committed to what you love. There is, of course, we have a lot of transplants when I say in this city, but
a ton.
I would say it is, what's a proper word? I'm still trying to figure the city out. Mm-hmm. Does it want to be a sports city? Does it want to be a...
No, it doesn't.
I know. Does it want to be known for weirdness? Because I know the thought of keep Portland weird. Is that kind of the chant that everyone says, let's be weird. Well, what does it mean to be weird? But owning it and who you are, that's my number one thing for everybody, is be who you are. And that's kind of, I think, what Portland's always done when I've seen it.
I think this is a city without identity. I think what it used to have an identity of being a rural, it used to be like a weird way to describe it, a rural metropolis, right? Uh-huh. Where you have a city that doesn't really operate as a traditional city does. I mean, you think of the industrial part of Portland and the shipping used to be using the Columbia and the Willamette River. It used to be kind of steel and it used to be lumber and the thing about, you mentioned New Orleans, it kind of resembles New Orleans in that
you know, Portland has a center, but it does not take very long to get in the country. And you have your sticks people, right? But what is interesting about Portland now, and that was Portland of me growing up, now that Portland has grown and there's so many transplants, it's kind of, it doesn't have that identity anymore.
Yeah, what is it?
It is basically still you have that, it can be rural, and it doesn't take long to get there. It's not a big suburbia area, but it's struggling to find out who it is. And that's why it's the hipster culture. It is, you know, where young people come to retire.
Shall we read some of these?
Yeah, definitely.
Crawford, please share.
Well, there's, and then I, by the way, mine is a mix of negative and positive. I love Portland, but I do have some negative. So some of these, not to be negative, but I live 10 minutes from Oregon and I never go there. And I never go there, blah, blah, blah. Kind of a dump. Schizophrenic wandering the street. At all times of day, you'll be guaranteed to walk by unstable crazy people, so I avoid it with my family. Yeah. Another negative one, Portland has become an overflowing toilet. Need to flush.
Okay.
Well, that's- I had to chuckle because that was kind of funny. What about the alternative urban arrogance?
Yes. Best thing about Portland is getting high at Saturday Market, eating food truck grub.
Okay. There you go.
All right.
There you go. I mean,
from, you know, alternative urban arrogance is an
that's pretty good.
One. That is a good one.
I like that.
But I think that's very that's pocketed around the city. You know, I think that we get caught
regional
up too much.
Within your own city.
Well, yeah, mean? We get caught up into the pockets of the city, and like Portlandia has given Portland the image of everything that is just basically Hawthorne District, mm-hmm. right? The Hawthorne and
the final
east side
season coming up, by the way,
in kind of the northeast East Portland. In Southeast Portland kind of gets locked into that. And that's what's really weird about Portland is that we have these little pockets that are so vastly different. Like, do we consider the Pearl is probably or like the urban arrogance, but yeah. Then you go to the hipster urban arrogance. I would say arrogance has a lot to do with that in where we're at here with Portland.
That's actually something I really like about Portland that I will miss is the distinct neighborhoods.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say the arrogance.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But I'm going to SoCal where there's so much arrogance and fake people.
I think
so,
that's in every city.
I think everybody thinks their
you
S
say
don't
about
stink.
Seattle, San Francisco, yeah. LA, San Diego.
I totally agree.
I mean, everyone thinks their city's the best and they'll fight to the
and
death.
And if you don't, then you live in what's Omaha. Wrong with you? Own it.
Exactly. Well,
that's what people used to love about Portland is it wasn't like that.
No, because
it was a town, not a
Portland was like that little, not to make a hipster analogy, but like that indie band or that low key band that you kind of discovered and you feel like no one else knows about and you're really proud of. Then they get really popular, hear their song on the radio. You see other people talking about it. You're like, hey, that was my band.
Portugal the Man.
I liked them before they were big. Yeah, exactly. So there's and that's just, I feel like that's a metaphor in and of itself because Portland is full of bands like that. But what I do love, one thing on a long list of things I love about Portland is the neighborhood feel. How even where I live, right off Belmont, has a different feel than if I walk over to Hawthorne or if I drive 10, 15 minutes over and I'm in the Rose Quarter area or downtown, even though it's full of homeless people and it's like a little bit dirty. Downtown still's got a cool character and feel. The Pearl's super bougie. 23rd's where my mom likes to shop.
Bougie.
You know, so it's
bougie.
It's got a different, like, it's different pockets of the city have different vibes and it doesn't take long to get there.
And there, a lot of what is good about this city is like this text. And, you know, we're talking about kind of what is kind of the negative skews of how people see it. But this one, 5-year transplant from Nebraska. It's an electric city full of passionate people about life and earth.
Eclectic.
It is, or eclectic, yes. It is electric.
Oh.
It is run by electricity, though. Yeah.
It does have
you
that.
Do got to pay your electric bill.
We do have electricity and indoor plumbing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Both things brand new. To Portland, 55305. And that's something that I think a lot of people do like about this is that have you ever talked to somebody like from Houston or LA, like you are New York City? The one thing that they go is, man, there's hills and there's trees and a lot of them right in downtown.
Yeah,
you look
so,
downtown, you could just
the turn. Trees are crazy, actually. You don't realize it till you go elsewhere how green, I guess, Portland is. Yeah. At least maybe compared to like LA.
55305, 644 on the fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Online at 1080thefan.com and the new 1080 The Fan app.
55305. Portland, what is it? Outsider's perspective as Crawford is leaving the town. See ya. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, bro. I'm kidding.
That's good. No, I hadn't heard. No, I'm serious.
Wait, you've never heard that term before?
No, I've never heard don't let the door hit you or the good Lord split you.
Never? Really?
Yeah. Wow. I'm going to say that to people.
Gosh. I grew up in Portland but moved away to the East Coast from 2013 to 15. Haven't come back. I would say that what I love about Portland is the location and beauty. I get to see Mount Hood and Mount St. Helens every day. I live an hour and a half from the mountain and an hour and a half from the beach. What I hate, traffic. City planning is awful. Need more highways. Hear, hear, brother.
Yeah, but your mayor just said he's not going to do it. So?
I think he's gotten enough pushback from that that he's changing his tune to that.
I don't believe it. Okay. Because like this texter says, Portland is super authoritarian while thinking they're tolerant.
Yeah, if we want to go on the negative Portland thing, I would say kind of the passive aggressive of kind of, I'm pro all these things conceptually, but when I see it in my backyard, I don't want it. I feel like that's kind of, but that might be a human nature problem, but I do see that in Portland. For example, my neighbor who I thought was really chill, and I know I have a long car, blah, blah, blah.
You have two long cars.
He doesn't know both of them belong to me. The point is that he said, yeah, right. If I could only park in front of my house and not, and I said, well, dude, we live in the city. Like, next to a park, sometimes I'm going to have to park in, like, people park in front of my house, I park in front of other people's house. He's like, yeah, you know, it's just, it's a little tough. And I'm like,
Sounds like our work neighbors.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That we have here.
Hey, we love everyone. We're here to help. Yeah. By the way, don't park here, we'll tow your car.
Park here as our work neighbors. OHSU, decided to park in our spots today. But did I make a big stink? Did I take a picture of the car and send it to email and all users?
Threatened to tow all
of you? Or did I threaten to tow? No, I didn't do that.
I'll admit to you, I'm a transplant here. Moved here in 95. When I moved, I found Portland to be extremely genuine. You can always find someone who's willing to help you network, get where you wanted to go, whether it was a project, art project, for a job, whatever it was. Now, I think with the density, I think the competition has affected that genuine, and it's what I miss most about Portland.
Portland has gotten very expensive. I will tell you from just me when I look at it, property, housing, and what is that? The inflection, people, and then just everybody's here.
Well, here's
there's no place
that,
to live.
But what that person said is very, it's spot on in that regard. Of I remember growing up, there was like this more willingness to help people out and kind of rally together. It seems like that is losing, and I think that's where those niche neighborhoods are all kind of becoming so prominent. Is because if you're within that neighborhood and you've been in that neighborhood, it's like you have that group that you just kind of are around. But it used to be just kind of anywhere you went and everywhere you went. That's why Bill Walton used to love this place in the 70s, is because he could hitchhike to the Memorial Coliseum.
An interesting thing I've observed about Portland and, you know, just being here now for about 4.5 years is just, it's definitely a city in transition because as you brought up previously, Dusty, it's not a big city. It's not an urban center. It was kind of a small metropolis, a rural metropolis, you called it.
Yeah.
And now it's becoming a big city. A lot of people are moving here. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of demolition of neighborhood favorites, of local houses. Just yesterday, I drove down Powell, and in one block I drove past the original Taco House, the Safari Show Club, strip club, and the bowling alley there. Three places I went last year that I like to go, all gone.
Love those places.
I think a Target is going in. I think condos are going in. Yeah. So, and that's what happens, though, to cities. Yep. So Portland is kind of losing its identity in a sense. And I think that this is a really...
It's going too commercial, you mean, a little bit?
I just think that happens everywhere, right? Like, San Francisco is so crowded. Southern California, you see demolition of classics and condos going up left and right. I just think Portland had been immune to it for so long. Now it's a city in transition. And it's an important time for city leadership or residents to kind of figure out what they want to shape the future.
It really is. And that's why you see so many people, like you have the old school and the new school, just kind of fighting and butting heads and not really moving anywhere on anything right now. Like this person says, you know, it should be called the triggered state. I think that's a fair
point. Triggered.
Well, what I think is funny about it is like you hear that. That is like it. You have people that are getting upset about the littlest things here, and it is like, and I know that what will happen is, we'll get people that'll be like, snowflake liberals. Well, no, listen, you're yelling because you're upset. You're just as triggered and kind of
my outrage is better than your outrage.
Right. That's exactly what happens here. And that we see that from like the old Portland and the new Portlanders, you know, get out of here. No more Californians.
Let's talk about what we like about Portland. Let's end on a positive.
You know what I love? You do that food.
I love the food, the food trucks. Mm. I love that even I'm not a soccer fan. But
the passion,
professional sports here. Yeah, that's what people say. Baseball wouldn't work. BS. It would work because professional sports people love. People love the Trailblazers. People love the Timbers. I love the fact that you can go up and, like that texter said, an hour and a half from the beach, an hour and a half from a mountain. Mm-hmm. You can get it both in one day. And the fact that we still, like, I do like the fact we protect the parks that we have here. We have a lot of parks in
Great
Portland.
City parks.
And I love the fact that you can just, if you're in a city building, you can just go outside and look and you see Mount Hood and it's right there. And it's not one of those places where it's like skyscrapers all the way up and you don't have that feeling of kind of a relief when you look outside.
You know what I do really enjoy about the city is the ability for me to go into a city and out of a city, barring when it's time, when you're free, when the traffic's not as bad. I know it's a caveat, but I feel like I can be in a city atmosphere and then suddenly 25 minutes later be in a rural feeling or being out. It's proximity to everything when it's not that bad out, when it's not in rush hour. Mm-hmm. It's reachable. It's attainable. I can get there. I can get to those places. And I have the big city feel, but I also have the small town feel at the same time.
I'm going to miss this is maybe a typical answer from me, but the neighborhood bars, like I know every city's got neighborhood bars.
Dive bars are
but
great.
I've been to a lot of dive bars around and Portland's got so many. And I know Portland's becoming more expensive, but it's still in San Francisco at a so-called dive bar. I paid $10 for a gin and tonic. Well, Portland, I can go to the Slammer and get one for $3.50 non-happy hour. You can still get great micro brews.
Look at that. This guy giving out free pub to places.
Free pub, on the way out.
I wonder where Crawford's going to be tonight. He's like, are you listening?
Can I get some free drinks?
It's still affordable compared to elsewhere, especially at least in the food and drink category. Mm-hmm. And I'll miss that. Just the accessibility, I guess, of cool local neighborhood spots is really something. When I go home to SoCal, even I'm like, oh, I'll just walk over to. Oh no, I won't. Oh, that place is overrun by USC grads with their sweaters tied around their neck. I don't want to go there.
You know what you're gonna miss? Good beer.
Oh yeah, I know. Good There is good beer in SoCal. It's like $8.50 a pint.
See, because they brought it down from Oregon. It's imported from Oregon down there.
No, there's so much good beer here, for sure. I totally
agree.
Craft beer. Yeah. I've learned a lot about
alcohol.
What
does that mean, by the way?
Craft beer?
Yeah.
You did it with arts and crafts.
Yeah. Isn't that a little pretentious? Hey, we make craft beer.
I don't know who came up with that term.
It's kind of like you're a beer moonshiner, but you wanted to make it sound better.
Bathtub beer's great. You know, one of the best beers I've ever had.
What are you doing? Are you sitting with your scissors that won't cut you with the soft tip and crafting?
This is going to sound very bad.
You're making beer.
But this is uniquely Portland. The best beer that I've ever had was brewed in a bathtub. And I mean it. It was the best beer that I have ever
had. Was it like a Buddy's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made it in his bathtub. And it was hands down, best beer I've ever had.
My favorite is just giving a shout out on my way out. They didn't, but
Upright, you got nothing to lose, dude.
No, Upright Brewing is my favorite microbrewery in Portland, right over by the Moda Center. I love their beer.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
55305. That you will miss the vegan strip clubs too. With the $6 steak bites right next door too.
Trust me, that's
one of the best things. What other city are you going to go to where you have a strip club known for its steak competing right next door to a vegan strip club? Where does that happen? Name me another city.
Oh, I'm going to miss my buddies from California or elsewhere coming to visit me here and being like, you guys want to go to a vegan strip club? They're like, what? Just being able to say that.
What is that? What is occurring?
Yeah. All right. What's coming up next?
Coming up next, let's talk about my favorite teams because it's my last day. But we'll go big picture. We'll keep some for all you. Next couple years, I guess between like now and 2020, Ducks versus Beavs. What are we looking for? What are the expectations from the fan bases? And then Clippers versus Blazers. My favorite team versus kind of my adopted team. What are the teams looking like over the next 3 years? What are the future bets on those teams? You're listening to Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.